Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Just a few things were shifting around here. How many know God is so good that I have a great, not only worship team, but a great prop team, and they are amazing. We're so blessed in this church. All right, well, let me see. I think I have a few announcements here. Let me get to them. The announcements are, let me see, Angel Tree. How many have heard about the Angel Tree? It's being done by the, I'm just trying to get my bearings here, you guys. It's done by, who is it being done by? Anyway, it'll be out there in the foyer. It's the best way I can tell you. And sign up for one and help some people in that area. Also, Thanksgiving meal signups. We encourage you to be part of that. And if you need a meal for Thanksgiving, sign up out there or go over to Emmanuel Baptist. They'll be serving Thanksgiving meals from noon to 3. And they also need some drivers to deliver meals. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up out there as well, and they'll take care of that. Okay. Now, let me just say this. If you're new here today, hopefully you'll know we're in a special season in our church. We've always tried to be intentional when it comes to leaving one season and entering into a new season. And as we leave one season and we enter into the next one, I want us to be a church that grows or comes into it and continues in it with great gratitude. And since next week is our Thanksgiving week, I thought it would be good if we just talk a little bit about growing in gratitude. And no matter what you feel or what you believe, how many know, in spite of the election, wherever you're at on it, we still live on one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth. Yes. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. So, in a moment, let me just say this. We'll be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 8, Psalm 23, and Philippians 1. But is Gary West here yet? Did he come at all? No, okay. If you see Gary West, we might put a picture up of him. I think we have one of he and his wife somewhere. Gary West pastored, he and his wife pastored in Quinault for 50 years, and they just retired, and yesterday they just had their 61st anniversary. So we're honoring him in the second service, but if you see him, he's going to wander in here. Just give him a big hug and say, "Hi, Gary, and so glad you're here." All right, so it'll be a good thing for us, and we just want to bless pastors like that. For me, I grew up in a church where I had 12 pastors from the time I was 4 till the time I was 20. And when you have a pastor of longevity, it's a blessing. So make sure you do that. All right, let's lift up our Bibles, smartphones, iPads, whatever else you have your Bible on, and let's make our prayer declaration together. Say this with me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. This book is alive and it's powerful. I read other books, but this is the only book that reads me. There are many opinions, but this is the only opinion that counts. Today, I declare by faith, I can do all that says I can do. I can be all that says I can be. And I can have all that says I can have. Today, I ask the Lord Jesus, the living word, to take his written word and personalize it for my life, so I can leave here changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk to you from Deuteronomy chapter 8, where the children of Israel are coming into a new season and a new land, and this is what Moses says to them beginning in verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs of gushing deep springs gushing out into the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. That sounds like a good place, doesn't it? A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and here's the problem with most of us, we settle down. We have to be careful not to settle down, but stay hungry for God's presence. All right, verse 13. And when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I just want to encourage you, don't forget the Lord. Verse 15, a few more verses. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness and something your ancestors had never known to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. I want you to hear this, you guys. When you go through tough times, it's to humble us and to test us so that we will stay humble before the Lord and it will go well with us. So, verse 17, so you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is this day. A couple more verses. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. So today, I want to talk to us as a church, as individuals, as families, about growing in gratitude. Gratitude is something we can grow in for the rest of our lives and then pass it on to future generations. Moses is training the children of Israel like children. That's what he's doing, to help them grow in gratitude. So on your notes, you can write this down. Grow means, the word grow means, to become greater in quantity and size, to expand my capacity in certain areas. So if I want to grow, I'm going to expand. I'm going to make room for it. And then the word gratitude means to bless, to praise, to worship, and to give thanks to God and to others who bless you. So turn to your neighbor and tell them your next growth spurt is just one thank you away. Come on, turn to him and tell him. So I want us to be a church that grows in every area of gratitude in our lives. In Deuteronomy 8, the children of Israel are moving into this new season and a new land. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and they've been looking for this land, even though it was right next to them all along. And as they move into this new season, Moses is telling them it's going to be a great place. But once you enter into it, the tendency is to let your preference cause you to miss God's provision. Let me say that again. Our preferences can cause us to miss God's provision. So in the last 40 years, he's saying to them, you didn't like the way the food tasted. In the last 40 years, some of you didn't like the schedule in which the food came on. Some of you complained about your clothes and your shoes because they didn't wear out and they went out of style. And some of you just, listen, these guys were so quick to complain under Moses' leadership. So he says to them, you're going to a better place. Your best is before you. But he's also pointing out the proclivities of people who enter into this new land and season just might possibly forget the provider once they've received his blessing. And depending on where you're at on this election, I'm saying this to you today. I want you to get in your heart. I believe we're going to enter into some years of prosperity. It'll take a couple years to get there. But once we're there, I want you to know this. Don't forget God. Don't forget what he's done for you. I believe we're going to enter into more growth into this church. So Moses is talking to them like children because he wants to give them a character trait that every person, family, church, and community, and nation must grow in to receive God's continued blessing, and that is gratefulness. So he knows these people have a tendency to be ungrateful and complain. He knows these people have a tendency to let their preferences miss God's provision. So like a good father, a good leader, he says to them, you're going to a better place and your best is yet before you. But don't forget who provided it for you, because God's gifts and God's best are enjoyed with great gratitude. Now, if you grow in gifts but not gratitude, what have you gained? Nothing. So like a good father and leader, he wants to teach them to learn gratitude. The first level, the basic level of gratitude. So let's go to verse 10, Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given to you. This is the basic foundation for growing in gratitude. This is gratitude 101. Are you ready for it? You can write it down. First stage is say the blessing. This is basic principle, the basic principle in gratitude. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's power in teaching your kids to be grateful at the dinner table. That's why we have a table up here today. So when Lois and I were raising our kids, our two daughters, we would say a blessing before each meal, but especially at home. Wherever we were at, we would say a blessing. But especially at each meal at home, after we'd say the blessing, we would stand and give Lois a standing ovation. The principle we were trying to teach them is to be grateful for the food, but also for the person who prepared it. So I was trying to remember the prayer that we prayed. And I think it goes something like this. Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. We thank you for this food, that it was not prepared by another, like my brother, but our amazing mother. And then we would stand. I made up the prayer. But okay. But then we would stand and give Lois a standing ovation. And I was wondering if they would pass it on to their kids, but their husbands never picked up on it. So they don't do that at their homes. But anyway, it was quite like, I think Lois was blessed by it. Weren't you, honey? Yeah. Uh-huh. So God was saying, when you eat, say. He's saying, when you eat, say the blessing. He was teaching them that while God is blessing you, while God is pouring out provision on you, you shouldn't just sit there and act like you earned it or act like you deserve it, which I feel like we have a great entitlement mentality in America today. And I don't understand why some people even come to church and fold their arms the whole time when I'm bringing an amazing message. God, you're sitting at the table feeding on his word, feeding on his faithfulness, feeding on his love, and you're just... You don't know how awful it is to preach to people like that. Now, you're not like that. I'm talking to probably those that are watching online. Just kidding. If you're... Okay, I just got signs and wonders from my wife. All right. Now, the principle in this verse is this, and it says this in verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord, or bless the Lord, or give thanks to the Lord. This is after you get the blessing. This is when the food's sitting right there in front of you, and you're at the table, and this is the first stage of growing in gratefulness. So, I just want to... they brought me a little chair. I'm going to try it. No, I'm not. Lois is looking at me like, oh, no. But imagine, not just your kids, but we're like little kids learning the basics of thankfulness. So as we go to the little kiddie table there, I want you to notice there's a principle I want to give you, and it's in this verse, and it says, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. The principle of praying for food or anything else is the words for the. Write those down. This is what we're trying to teach our kids. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Mommy, for the food you prepared. That's what we're teaching them, for the food you prepared. And you can, I want you to get this in your spirit today, because there's so much for you to be thankful for. Right. For the hands God's given me. For my eyesight, so I can see. For my nose. And this is what we do. Don't you thankful for your nose? So you can smell the food? And let's just take a moment. Let's do a few for the's. Shout them out to me. For the what?
Husband.
For the husband.
For the family.
Amen to that. Amen.
For the
family. For what else? For the children.
For
the home, the house.
For the cars.
For the jobs.
Trees.
For the roof. For the mediocre Seahawks.
For the Chiefs.
For the Monty Bulldogs.
For the Huskies.
For the Huskies.
Cougars.
For the Cougars.
For the Bobcats. For the Bobcats.
How about, let's get to some other important things. How about running water? We had a shower in this morning. For the people in my life, for the crazy dysfunctional family he let me be born in, for the heat in this building, for the rain that makes everything green in this place, and for the sun that comes out to dry it up, and for the freedom of worship, and for the family of God, and for the grace he gave you and me when I failed this week. We should all be standing right now, giving God a standing ovation for thus in our life. Come on. He's worthy. He's great. He's awesome. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. God's saying thank you, church. Even though you were coerced to do it, thank you. All right. You sit down. Now turn to your neighbor and just tell him something tell them a for the you're thankful for. Now, just so you know, Moses is teaching the children of Israel, just like we teach our children, he's trying to teach them that happiness is not about accumulation, but it's about appreciation. And our culture, though, doesn't market appreciation or gratitude or Thanksgiving. We can't even get to Thanksgiving Day. How many have seen Black Friday ads already?
Oh, yeah.
They're all over the newspaper, the TV, they're on the radio, they're everywhere. It's on the internet. It's full of Black Friday pictures of crap you and I don't need. Come on. Folks, we need to at least one day a year to thank God for all the stuff we received in this last year before we start buying the stuff for next year. Can't we just have one day where we say, God, thank you. Thank you for the. Our God is a gracious God. Did you know he's more gracious than the utility companies? Well, think about it. See, our city utilities include water and garbage, and our PUD companies, they make sure that every month we appreciate them. Don't they? And if you and I fail to show our appreciation, They stopped providing power, water, and garbage pickup, etc. In fact, they will give you a chance to rectify the situation because I went over to the PUD to see if I could get a notice of what kind of thing they would send me if I was late on our PUD bill. And they just say, you're running behind or something like that. We're so nice now. You can, if you don't do well in sports, you get a trophy. If you don't pay your bills, I'm sorry, but you need to pay your bill. But the truth is, even though they're sorry, they'll still shut off your power. So I decided I needed to check out this envelope that said return service requested. So I got this deal out, and how many have ever seen one of those? You can't even read it. So it's so small. It says past due. So I thought, well, you know what? I felt like the Lord said, you know what? Some of these people really need a reminder. Can you read that? I want you to know some of your praise and worship and thanksgiving is past due. Come on, we need to get our ducks in a row and be able to tell God, Lord, thank you for everything you've done for me. But if you don't do that, I just want you to know, the PUD or the city, wherever you get all your stuff from, will send you a nice polite reminder, and then they just shut it off on you. And then you'll go, oh, I sure appreciate my power. Listen, maybe God's trying to remind some of us, listen, your praise, your thanksgiving is past due, and that's why there's no power in your life. Okay, that's enough of that now. Be nice, Pastor Doug. Be nice. All right, so we need to teach our children the first stage of growing in gratefulness is the for the stage, or for the whatever. For the stage too. All right, now, this is a wonderful thing, this teaching our kids and teaching us. God loves you and I so much, but we don't want to stay here the rest of our lives, right? No. We need to grow up into something better. So to help you grow up into a deeper level of gratitude, I've got a chair here. What does this look like? This goes with a dining room chair, a banqueting table. And so to help us today learn that part to grow in, I wanted us to go over to Psalm 23. See, David was raised up as a shepherd in his father's house. He was being prepared to be a king, anointed by Samuel the prophet. But he had a remarkable ability to remember where he came from. I'm always amazed that people who have been blessed by God and who have made millions of dollars forget where they were raised. Wouldn't it be nice if those who came here, raised here, made millions of dollars, would come back and give some of those millions to Grace Harbor? It would be nice. But David didn't forget. David did not forget from where he was raised. He was driven by a sense of returning to God who had given him all his blessings. So David comes to give us a deeper understanding, a deeper level of gratitude. And by the way, it's not a deep level to thank God for what he has already given you. That's not deep. That's just common, basic manners. You should say thank you for everything. And I love the way you guys are teaching your kids. When I give them M&Ms, some of your parents are going, say thank you. Say thank you. Say please. And I go, they're okay. They're getting it. And they're coming around. So you're doing a good job with the basics. But David comes along to help us grow in gratefulness. And he writes Psalm 23. And he says this, the Lord is my shepherd. And by the way, he writes this as he's being chased and tracked down, and he's in a valley, and they're trying to kill him. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters or the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And then he gives us verse 4. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David takes us to another level of growing in gratitude. He gives you and I, and you can write this down, the even though growth stage. He's saying, this is where you can have all hell breaking loose in your life and every area of your life, or just one area, but you say, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Even though my heart is broken, even though I lost some friends along the way, even though I've been misunderstood at times and people wrote me out of their lives, it is well with my soul. So Moses taught Israel to thank God for what they could see. David teaches us to thank God for what we can't see. I want you to get that in your heart. But this is a level where we walk by faith. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, even though things have turned against me, even though I will still praise him. It is one thing for Moses to teach us to thank God for the good land, but this level is where, this level is what kind of Christian we should all want to be. We should all want to be here no matter what. We thank him for the food, we thank him for the finances, we thank him for the fiance, but do you thank God even though you're still single? Just a thought. Where do you want to sit? Do you want to stay in this chair? Or do you want to move up to this chair? Am I only going to thank him when I can see the evidence of his presence? Or am I going to thank him even though I don't feel like he's here, but he's still there? Am I going to do the right thing so I can recognize his presence in my life? See, stage one in growing in gratitude is thanking God for his provision. Stage two is thanking God for everything that happens in your life. So stage two growth in gratitude is growing in gratefulness for his presence. Now, notice that it says, he seats me at the table in the presence of my enemies. And I want you to get this. Sometimes we think the enemy is a person or persons. And so we say, I'm being seated at a banqueting table in the presence of people I don't like. That's a pretty amazing thought. God prepares a table, a banqueting table, for you in the presence of your enemies. But did you know some of the things that can be your enemies are much deeper than that? You're seated with your insecurities. You're seated with your deficits. You're seated with your addictions. You're seated with your confusion. You're seated with what you've probably lost at times in your life. So what you do is you say this, in the presence of my enemies, now pretend I'm at the table, even though it's there, in the presence of my enemies, I'm not going to look at all of that. I'm going to look at Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes straight on him, because in the presence of the Lord, none of this matters. In the presence of God, I can still grow through, and I will dwell in his house forever. That's what it says. So I keep my eyes in the right place. I'm not going to look at people. I'm not going to look at what people did to me. I'm not going to look at the circumstances around me. I'm not going to remember my insecurities and my rebellion. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus and know that he's the forgiver of my sins. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And I thank him for everything he's put in my life. Now, in the presence of our enemies, we keep our eyes straight ahead. Now, there is a third stage, and I didn't know if I was going to have time to do it, but I do. So let's just move there for a moment. The third stage, the first stage was the provision stage. The third stage is even though it's a relational type stage. But the third stage of growing in gratitude is learning to praise him even when it feels like you're in a prison. And Paul takes us there. Paul takes us to a stage of growing in gratitude from a prison cell in Rome. And in this prison, they're trying to stir up trouble and see if they could get him executed before it was time to be executed. And he's writing about his feelings and how he's responding here in Philippians to their plans against him. And this is what he wants us to get. Verse 17 of Philippians 1, it says, the former other Christians preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. In other words, they're Christians. How many know Christians can be mean? Oh, yeah. How many know Christians can stir up things? Yeah. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, these people who seem to be believers, they're stirring up trouble for me while I am in chains. And there's people that will stir up trouble in your life. But I love what he says here in verse 18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. So the first stage is for the stage, for the stuff. The second stage is even though I get hurt in life and go through stuff, the third thing, or the third stage is, and you can write this down, the because of growth stage of gratitude. That means I don't praise him for the pain, but I praise him because of what the pain is producing in my life. I hope you can get this. Because I think I want us to thank him for what pain has produced in your life. I don't know if I'm there. I feel like I've gone through some emotional pain at times, but I do know that I've had attitudes when I'm going through the pain going, why is this always happening to me? Why does this always, instead of saying, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. And I know that you have a purpose for my life. And these guys are trying to stir up trouble for Paul and steal, I want you to hear this, steal his purpose. When you are in a prison, when you're getting prison food and there's a lot of pot stirrers around you and they're trying to stir up trouble and you're in your chains, I just want you to know they're trying to steal your purpose. And if you can learn to remember to thank God in the midst of the pain, and then God will bring your purpose to the forefront, because this is what he says. He says, the important thing is that in every way, whether false motives or true, Christ is preached. That's the main thing. Is Christ still being preached? Yes. And because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to give praise. I will continue to give thanks. No matter what goes on in my life, no matter how many people turn against me. And by the way, it's not people. It's an assignment from the enemy to steal your purpose from your life. So if you can remember, this isn't about people. This is about an assignment from hell trying to take you out early. Don't quit. But in the midst of that, is Christ still being preached? And if he is, you can thank God, because in the midst of the pain, your purpose is being fulfilled in your life. And this is when you meet somebody who went through something that would have caused you to give up, and yet they have found the purpose of God worked out because of it in their life. Like I said, I have a long way to go in this area, but I hope we all grow in gratefulness in our lives and as a church, and as we go into this new season, I just want you to thank him for the stuff.
Right.
Thank him even though, and thank him because of this or that, that he's working out his purpose in your life. Let's stand. We are so, so blessed. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, I want us to, again, like I said, to become a church that leads the way in gratefulness. I'm convinced one of the reasons when you walk in here and you hear the music and you sense his presence is because when people are giving thanks to God, his presence just shows up. And hopefully, wherever you're at in your life today, you're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. Some of you are prodigals. Some of you, what I mean by that is you knew the Lord at one time, but you walked away, or you haven't just given your life to him fully, and he's drawn you back to himself today. Some of you have never given your life to Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give you that opportunity, and I'm going to give you, when I say that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. No one's looking around but the Holy Spirit and me. And I'm asking you, as it all comes down to this, to be a grateful person, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. He came and died on a cross for your sins. He rose from the dead to seal your salvation, not only to forgive you of your sins, but he rose from the dead because there's power in the name of Jesus to heal you, to restore you, to put you at a banqueting table. But you need to know today that that's you and you need Christ in your life. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Just raise them high. Say, I need Jesus Christ in my life. I need to surrender to him. Raise them high. Don't hold back. I see one hand. I see two hands. Three, four. Any more? Don't hold back. Nobody else is looking but Jesus. Five, thank you. Six, come on. Okay, here's the thing here. Nobody prays alone. We all pray together. And we pray it by faith. So say this with me. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die in my place. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins, all my mistakes, and all my failures. Come into my life and be my Savior, my Lord, my boss, my friend, and my King. And by your grace and by your power, I will serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.